Yeah, it's Edward Davey. I'm the Member of Parliament for Kingston and Surbiton.
First of all, may I just ask your thoughts on Rishi Sunak's premiership so far?
Regrettably, the Prime Minister's made quite a poor start. I think people had hoped he would bring more stability, but we've seen in his appointments to his ministerial team two very, very poor ones, which have backfired on him. First of all was his reappointment Home Secretary of Suella Braverman. And people were very surprised at that because she had to resign because she'd broken the rules. She'd broken the ministerial code. And indeed, people questioned whether she'd broken national security and there needs to be an investigation to that. But despite that, it looks like Rishi Sunak decided that he would appoint her. And that's drew a lot of criticism. Equally, his appointment of Gavin Williamson, who'd had to resign twice previously for serious mistakes, and now has been forced to resign because of the multiple allegations of bullying, many of which apparently Rishi Sunak knew about. So I think the Prime Minister's judgment about who he appoints in his team has been called seriously into question. So it's a quite a bad start for the Prime Minister.
At COP27, he said how important it was that the UK and the world sticks to some of the pledges made at COP26. What do you make of his speech there?
Well, I agreed with a lot of what Rishi Sunak said at the climate change conference, particularly as he said that if we tackle climate change, we can actually reduce people's bills through renewable power and make us more secure and less dependent on imports of fossil fuels from countries like Russia. And we want to punish Russia for Putin's illegal invasion. He shouldn't get all that money for his tanks and missiles. So I disagree with what Rishi Sunak said in Egypt. But there was one problem, and I raised this with him at the House of Commons this week. He has pushed ahead with a ban on onshore wind power. That's really odd and at complete odds with what he said in Egypt, because onshore wind is not just clean for our climate change targets, it's also the cheapest form of renewable power. It's also very popular. And so if you're going to lead and show the rest of the world that you mean what you say, that you're going to invest in cheap green power to make ourselves more secure and tackle climate change, he really should not be banning onshore wind. It's a very bad move and in contradiction with what he says.
You and your wife have recently gone public regarding her diagnosis of MS, and part of what you said is that disabled carers need more of a voice in politics. Could you tell us a bit more about what's lacking there, in your opinion?
Yeah, Emily, my wife, who's a councillor in Norbiton, she was diagnosed with MS over a decade ago, actually. She doesn't really affect many of the things that she does. However, during lockdown, because of the lack of ability to go swimming and things like that, it became more pronounced in terms of her walking. So she decided she would do the interview both to show and make the case for more help for people who've had mobility problems as a result of lockdown. And many doctors and families tell us locally that lockdown really hit their mobility. But she also wanted to make the case for a stronger voice in politics locally and nationally for carers. And I strongly support her in that.
She's a councillor in Kingston and she's in charge of housing. Is there something that she's hoping to change in the borough?
Yeah, Emily and the Liberal Democrats have now got the largest building programme of council houses, of affordable houses, for over 40 years. And I'm very proud that Emily's leading that. And in the way that's being implemented, a lot more thought and attention is being given to the needs of disabled people and families with caring responsibilities. So we hope in this quite significant addition to Kingston's council house stock, which will meet the housing needs of people, will also have a particular regard to those who have mobility problems, be they because they're of their age or because of their health.
Moving on to one of your recent announcements about how you would like people in England to be given the right to a GP appointment within a week. Very recently, Tories Coffee had a similar proposal, and that it would affect ratings and fundings for GPs who couldn't meet another target being put upon them, and it was hugely unpopular. How is this policy proposal any different?
Well, the Conservative proposal was, first of all, not very ambitious for parents and patients. It was only for 2 weeks, and we're thinking it should be quicker than that in a week. But moreover, it didn't come with the sorts of policies that would be needed to help GPs and their teams. GPs are overworked at the moment. They're completely overstretched. And this type of new target to help patients needs to be brought in over time as we recruit more and more doctors. The Conservatives promised to recruit more doctors, but actually we've seen a reduction in doctors over across the country of 500. What our proposal is built on is increasing the number of doctors for general practice by 8,000. That would mean that GPs wouldn't be so overworked, they'd have many more colleagues. And coupled with our proposals to reduce the bureaucracy on GPs, so for example, prescribing could be more done by community pharmacists, by nurse practitioners, by paramedics, that would mean existing GPs would be able to have more time with their patients. So we've got to take the pressure off GPs, and we'll only do that by recruiting more.
Analysis suggests that under new boundary shift proposals, you could have a more difficult time in your Kingston seat, but that conversely, Esher and Walton could be tougher for the Conservatives and better for the Liberal Democrats. What do you make of this?
Well, we were expecting these proposals, or some proposals, from the Boundary Commission for England. And we're going to look at them in some detail. We've only had them this week. And there'll be MPs across the country of all parties and people from outside politics wanting to look at them. I was slightly surprised by them because I think my constituency would lose the town centre of Kingston. And I think that doesn't really make sense to me because there's an area of Kingston linked to Norbiton that really feels right with the constituency. And by adding Kingston Town Centre to Richmond Park, that constituency, which of course straddles the park and be very long, has two big town centres. So it doesn't really make sense for people. And I think what I always like to bring into these discussions about boundaries are people and what they like. Where do they feel an affinity to? Where's their community? And I think the current proposals, we will study them and we'll give them proper attention, of course. But to me, at first glance, they seem to divide communities that are more naturally together.
Are you considering changing your seat, perhaps to Richmond Park?
Oh, no. No, I'm going to stay, whatever the boundaries are. This is my area. I live in Surbiton. It's a wonderful area. And I love working for local people in the community.